come again to the preaching of the Word of God. The aim for this message is very simple, straightforward. The aim is to just remind us, who is it that was born? Who is it that we always speak about each and every Sunday? So before we do that, let us just come to the Lord in prayer, then we will continue. Let us pray. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace, my gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the honors of Thy name. Our faithful God, we are grateful to come before You again this morning. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us together in Your house, in Your temple, O God, to speak about the true temple, to speak about the true dwelling, our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, we are grateful, Father, to be loved by You, for choosing us, that we may be called Your children, that then You can lavish us with all blessings in the heavenly places. Here we come today. Remind us again, O God, who is it that was born? Who is it that is most celebrated, O God, even in this time of the year? The one we celebrate each and every Sunday. Speak to us, O God, as our hearts longs to hear from You, O God. Speak to us, O Father, through Your word this morning. We ask all this in the name of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. May we all say Amen. So please turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, we will read together from verse 1 to verse 20, so that we get a little bit of the things that I won't even speak about. Luke chapter 2, I read from verse 1 to 20 in your pew Bibles. It is page 857. And the title of this message, Joy to the World. Just like our hymn was saying, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinus was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased. When the angels went away from them unto heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see these things that has happened, which the Lord had made known to us. And they went with hastle and found Mary and Joseph and the baby laying on the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherd returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of His Word. Joy to the world. That is the title of our message this morning. And friends, brethren, it is a fact that we all need joy. There are many unhappy people in the world. There are many crises around us. Our own past experiences and failures contribute to our unhappy frame of mind in most cases. Sometimes it is the disappointment we encounter with one another. Disappointment by others, broken promises, lies and deception. Which is why then we need to depend on someone different than us for our joy. Someone who is capable of keeping promises. Someone who will never break promises that he makes. Someone outside of us for our good news. And when you open the New Testament, you see that God's promises were kept. The promises that He made from the Old Testament are all kept in the New Testament. Then that tells us that this is the one we can trust. This is the one we can depend upon for all the things that we want to achieve. Because that brings so much good news to us. It should bring good news to us that God's promises are kept and that God keeps His promises. In this time, many people are celebrating. I personally don't have a problem with people celebrating on Christmas Day, for as long as they know it is not something that the Bible commands us to do. It is not a biblical command. And I also don't have a problem with people who does not celebrate on Christmas Day, for as long as they know that there is no biblical condemnation unto those who celebrate. But one thing for sure, brothers and sisters, that I want to tell you. Over 2,000 years ago, something happened. The Son of God was born into the world. He became born into this world. The Son of God came in flesh and became that good news of great joy. That joy to the world we want to talk about this morning. So at the fullness of time, when God had patiently prepared for the seed of the woman who will crush the serpent, the seed of Abraham, in whom every nation of this world will be blessed. When the time has come, when God has prepared for this root of Jesse, the son of David, who will sit at the throne of his father and establish a kingdom of righteousness, the comfort of his people, who will take away fear from his people's hearts. That servant of the Lord, the chosen servant of God in whom God delights, the one who will bring forth justice into all the nations. When the time had come, when God had prepared for him, God then sent his angel to a young lady, a virgin named Mary, and gave this good news of great joy as well. That will be for her, but not only for her, the news for the whole Jewish nation, but not only for her and the Jewish nation alone, the news for the whole world. And God also sent his angel to Joseph to ease his confusion, giving him the privilege of raising this son, the privilege of raising the promised Messiah. That was a great privilege to Joseph. So, in this little time that we have, I want us to look at verse number 11. Verse 11 only. Because when the child was born, God again sends an angel which comes to address the shepherds who were looking after their flock by night in that region where Mary has given birth to her firstborn son. The angel brings to the shepherd good news of great joy, a message meant for a people waiting, all people waiting for the king who was to come into the world. It says in verse number 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." So why is this joy to the world? Why is this good news of great joy? first because a Savior is born. Something very special happened over 2,000 years ago. At the fullness of time, a Savior was born to redeem us as sinners. That is a purpose of a Savior, coming to redeem sinners and free the subject. If you redeem somebody, you're freeing that subject from a certain kind of a bondage, to reconcile man to God. That is what Jesus came to do, to make enemies friends, to make us become God's friends, because we were God's enemies, to make us become each other's friends. I think we'll see that next week, because we were never friends in a way. We were so tribal, people looking after their own people. I am a Nigerian, I am a Malawian, I am a South African, but through Christ Jesus, we have become one, we have become friends. That is the power of salvation. He comes to make enemies friends. That is the greatness of this child who is born in Bethlehem. Someone has come to take away our fear, even the fear of death. You can see in verse number 10, the angel says, "Fear not." The angel is not referring to that fear towards God, the fear we should never be free from. That lawful, necessary, marvelous fear which is always due from us to God. What kind of fear is that? That reverence which a people will have for their king and consequently subject themselves in that king's commands. Most of you understand what the king is. You've got that kind of a reverence to the king and you subject yourself to the king's commands. The angel is not saying we must not have that kind of a fear. That is the kind of a fear that Jesus actually comes to introduce. A Savior is born. Good news to those living in ruins, those who are subject to condemnation. It is good news to people of sin, because a Savior has come. Because sin is about to be removed. Good news to the world. The Savior has come to take away that which contributes to unhappiness and fear. What is it that contributes to unhappiness and fear? Sin. But the Savior has come to save us, to take away that which contributes to unhappiness, and then it contributes to fear. To restore the absence of joy in the hearts of men. Do you have joy in your heart? Maybe you don't have joy in your heart. You need someone to replace or to restore joy in your heart. Jesus is the one who saves and restores joy in the hearts of men. How does he do that? By bearing that penalty of sin for those who believe. To deliver them from the power of sin. Giving them that assurance that one day they will be where he is. Delivered from this present world of sin. The angel says a Savior is born. Something of great significance has happened. Indeed, good news of great joy to men. The light of the world has come. The light which is life to men has dawned, to translate men from the kingdom of darkness to his marvelous light, to bring heavenly blessings unto his people, to bring heavenly blessings on the earth. In other words, he connects earth and heaven. He stands in the middle between earth and heaven, and he connects and he brings the blessings from heaven. They go and flow through him unto the subject, which is his people. He brings heavenly blessings on earth. A Savior will come and take our burdens. A Savior will come and console our sorrows. If we have sorrows in your heart, there is one man who can console your sorrows. One man who can bring comfort is the Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. A Savior who will take away sickness and death. A Savior will save us from being eternally lost. A Savior will come and make alive that which is dead in trespasses and sin. So in other words, the invisible God has just made himself visible. Indeed, a silent night. Indeed, a holy night. Indeed, all is well, all is calm, all is bright. Holy infant, so tender and mild, glory streams from heaven afar. And then the heavenly host sings with joy. A Savior is born. now God's love. In other words, now God's love is been made manifest unto the earth. God's love is made manifest unto his people. That is the only way we can see God's love made manifest. For God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believe in him may not perish. So we see his birth. In his birth we see God's love made manifest. The Apostle Peter says in Peter chapter 1 verse 20, 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, you can listen, he says, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, that is Jesus, but was made manifest in the last times for your sake. Why is it for my sake that he was made manifest? Because he's a savior to save me from my sin. We look at verse number 9. When you look at verse number 9, you can see surely something glorious has happened. Something glorious has taken place. Because the glory of God actually confirms it as it shines around a sinful people. What you get in verse number 9. Verse number 9 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. Fear overwhelms their hearts. And the only thing that can take away such fear, fear that overwhelms the heart of man, the only thing that can take that away is the proclamation of a Savior, a proclamation of a Deliverer, a proclamation that those who trust in his redemptive work in this age will be saved forever. They will be saved when he comes to usher in that great judgment upon all unbelievers. That is the great news. That is why it is joy to the world. The Savior is born in the city of David, as promised in Micah chapter number 5 verse 2. We quoted these words before in Micah chapter number 5 verse 2. It points us before time that in Bethlehem something will happen. A Savior will be born. It confirms that God is faithful. But when the angel says in Bethlehem, in the city of David, a Savior is born, the angel, he directs the shepherd where they will find this baby and what kind of a baby really this is. It is more than just a Savior. It's a humble Savior. It says in verse number 13, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Think about it. God from heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, laying in a manger. He is not just a savior, but a humble savior. He comes in the way of humility to destroy that pride which rules man, the pride which is the root of evil in the souls of man. This is the man who is the only man who comes in humility. This child comes to save. This child comes to give righteousness to the ruined world. This child comes to redeem. This child comes to deliver. He is greater than Moses. His task is greater than the task of Moses. If you think of the Exodus, of the first Exodus, you realize this child is much greater than that, because his task is much greater than the task of Moses. He's got a greater task. He must redeem a people from a worse condition than the condition of Egypt. He must redeem people from sin. He will take his people, those of whom he is pleased. He will walk with them, carry them on his shoulder to the cross, and die there at the cross, dying for them, giving them then eternal life. Much more glorious than the first Exodus. A Savior is born to take upon himself all our debts, becoming a ransom for many, those in whom he is pleased. Verse 14. Hopefully, by God's grace, we will understand that next week. Those of whom he is pleased. He comes to save his people. Those who will come to him in faith and repentance. Joy to the world. The gospel will be proclaimed to the ends of the earth for the salvation of many. Not one, but many. A Savior is born. But secondly, the angel says, not just a Savior is born, the Christ is born. In the same verse, we see the Christ is born. that speaks of him as the prophet, speaks of him as the priest who intercedes for his people. He speaks of him as the king who upholds the universe in the palms of his hands, in whom, in the shadow of his wings, we are safe. The prophet, the priest and king, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This king is unlike David. Remember King David of the past, a man after God's own heart, but sinned. He's a man after God's own heart who will never sin. No sin was found in him. Unlike David, his reign will be everlasting reign. Under his reign shall come all the nations. Unlike David was just the king of Israel, but this king, this Christ, he will be king of all the nations. The Christ is born, a child anointed and consecrated to the great work of redemption. The Redeemer, in other words, is born. A child ordained by God to be born anointed, so that he may anoint by his Spirit all those who are his. Why is he Christ? So that he may anoint you by his Spirit. So that he may keep and preserve you by his power. The power of the Spirit. So that you may live for joy as you are joined with the multitudes. As you are joined with the heirs of heaven. And you become the citizen of heaven. Right now, if you are born of God, you are the citizen of heaven. It is possible to be in a different country but be a citizen of another country. Ask my brother Shimbuzi, will tell you. You can be a citizen of another country living in another country. So we are the citizens of heaven living on earth. So it is possible. So this is what God gives to us. We become citizens of heaven even though walking the dusty streets of Olivet. Because our Christ is born, we live for joy. A child of divine standard is born, who will lead his people not in idolatry. This is the king who will teach his people to fear God through the power of the gospel and the power of the Holy Spirit. The one who will gather his elect from all the corners of the earth. The one who will gather those whom the Spirit calls through the preaching of his word. Those who are appointed to eternal life from the foundation of the earth. His sheep who will believe on him and be sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit and be kept, keeping them in that path of salvation, keeping them in that path of righteousness. That's why he saves us. So the angel says, the son of David is born. That is the message you will get if you were a Jew living on that time. That the son of David, the promised son of David who was to come into the world, is born. That anointed king who was to come and bring salvation and consolation to his people has come. You read Luke chapter 2 verse 28 to 32. You see how the remnant kept by God. You see how the people who were waiting for him saw in him as he was presented in the temple. The Bible says that the prophet Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and says, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples. A light for revelation to Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. That's how the people receive him. They see him as that Christ, the promised Messiah, who was to come and give consolation and redeem his people. The Bible continues to tell us in Luke chapter 2, verse 38, that there was also a prophetess with the name of Anna, who was there in the temple. And the Bible tells us that when she saw the child, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. When she saw the child, she began to give thanks to God, to people who have an understanding that a Christ had to come. Now the Christ has come. So the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news of great joy. It is that joy to the world. I wonder if we really find joy in him. Is this news great joy to you, my friend? Or are you just happy to be enjoying holidays and not be at work? Does it really make you live consciously of the kingdom of God? Does it make you walk in the manner of righteousness? Being reminded of this Savior and Christ, does it make you walk in the manner of the gospel and in the light of Christ? As you are reminded of the coming of the King, the Savior, the Christ, the Son of God, who came marching in, accompanied by angels, publicly announcing the age of salvation on the earth, the age of salvation which calls for faith and repentance. Have you come to that, my friend, to understand that this is the time of faith and repentance? This is the time of salvation. In other words, because before God sent His Son, He looked down from heaven. All that He saw was sin and sinners. Then God, in His love, in His mercy, in His grace, He sent His Son into the world so that whosoever believe in Him may not perish but have eternal life. So that whosoever believe in Him may never fear life again and also will never fear death. There are people who fear death. The only thing I'm scared of when it comes to death is the way I may die. I don't want to be burned. I don't want to be stabbed. I don't want to be shot. But fearing death is a different thing than fearing how you die. But there are people who are fearing that they might die one day because they don't have home. But you have come, if you have come to the Savior, you don't have to fear death anymore. But if you have come to Christ, there is no need for you to fear life and death because the Christ is born. Thirdly, the angel says, not only is He a Savior and the Christ, He says, He's Lord. In verse number 11 again. One verse, He says, the Lord is born. So this is not a child that is only ordained by God to be born anointed so that He may anoint you by His Spirit and keep you in His grace. This is God Himself. He is not born to become God. That is very important. He is not born to become God. He is born God. The Lord is born. He speaks of His deity. When we say His deity, maybe it's a big word for you, but it speaks of His divine nature. That's what separates Him from me and from you. If you will have this way, this verse number 11, translated in a very literal language, it will say, today in Bethlehem, a baby has been born who is your Savior and your Messiah and who is God Himself. That is the verse. That's how they receive it. That's how we receive it. God Himself is born. The angel calls Him Lord. The most exalted title given to our Lord Jesus Christ. The title which speaks of absolute authority. The title which speaks of absolute dominion. The title speaking of absolute power. The Lord is born. The title which tells us unto whom we should submit. I don't know unto whom you want to submit, but only Jesus Christ is worthy of your submission, my friend. A title which conveys the idea of God's sovereignty over all things. God is sovereign over all things. He controls the weather. He controls every little molecule of this world. Even a bird flying on high cannot fall into this ground unless God allows that bird to fall. God is sovereign over all things. He's sovereign even over your salvation. That is for another day. He's sovereign over human destinies. He's sovereign where you will go after this life. God is King. The sovereign Lord of all. Sovereign King. What do I mean by that? What do I mean that God is sovereign over human destinies? Listen, it is God who will throw you unto hell if you do not believe. It is not the devil that will come and grab people and throw them unto hell. No, my friend. The Bible says God Himself shall cast men unto eternal fires if we don't believe. Listen to what will happen to those who does not believe today. Those who just want to confess with their mouth that they are of Christ, but they have not made Him Lord. I will explain what does it mean if they have not made Him Lord. He says, in His word, these people, because of their disbelief, because of their false testimony of Jesus Christ. They will say to him, Lord, Lord, that is our Lord, 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 did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And the Lord Jesus Christ will say unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Another verse in the book of Luke says, do not fear men, but fear God, who's got the right and the power to cast into eternal fires. So this is a title which conveys God's sovereignty and God's divine power. It speaks of one who existed before he was born. That's very important. One who existed before he was born. He was born, but he existed before he was born. Listen to what John the Baptist says in John chapter number 1, verse 15, if you will open there, and verse number 30. This is the one born in Bethlehem, but existed before he was born. The Creator himself. The Bible says, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he comes after me and ranks before me, because he was before me. Look at verse number 30. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. So this is the proof, my friend, that Jesus existed before he was born. A Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born. It speaks of one who existed before David was born. David, who lived 1,000 years before Jesus Christ, speaks of him. You read Psalm 110. You read Psalm 16. You read Acts chapter number 2. This man was, or this child, was born in Bethlehem, but he existed before he was born. The title Lord is equivalent to the Old Testament name Jehovah. The Greek Old Testament name Jehovah. This is the same Jehovah. So the message is clear. To the shepherds, the message is clear to us even this morning. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is born. The Jehovah you've been waiting for has come. Another wise man, wiser than me, wiser than Russ, he says this word Lord, kurios, that is the Hebrew way of saying it, is the richest of the Christological titles. What does that mean? Is the richest title that you can call Jesus with. After all the titles, you can call him Savior, you can call him the Messiah, unless you call him Lord. Unless you call him Lord. Unless he's your Lord. Because there are many people who will claim he's the Savior, but they will not live as though he's Lord, accepting Jesus as Savior and continuing to live in his love and his hand as though he's your Lord. You can have someone to be your woman but not be your wife. That is possible. And that's bad. That is why it is bad to have Jesus as Savior and not as Lord. But let us explain what we mean by that. This title Lord, my friends, it explains Jesus as God, as I've just mentioned to you. So unless he's Lord, that's why he has to be Lord. He has to be the God of your life. He has to be that which affects your life. It affects your redemption. Only God can affect your redemption. Only God can save. That's what makes Jesus different from Moses. Moses was a Savior, but he also needed a Savior to be saved. He needed God. So to call him Lord really positively affects our worship. Why? Why? Because when we worship here, we know that God is with us. He is our God. And in actual fact, our salvation is impossible unless Jesus is Lord. Our worship is useless unless Jesus is Lord. Now you can begin to realize what you should be thinking of Jesus the most. Yes, as Savior. Yes, as Christ. But the most, he is Lord, the incarnate Son of God, who took upon himself a form of a man, who took upon himself a form of a servant, and made a dwelling among us. Why making a dwelling among us? Oh, that he may make a dwelling for us in him. That is why Jesus is Lord. How did he do that? By dying for us on that cross. So, what is the message if I say Jesus is Lord? The message is clear, my friend. He's not just your savior who saves you and let you continue without accountability. That is not Jesus. He doesn't save people that they may continue without accountability. So in other words, you cannot take his benefit as a savior but reject or ignore his claim as Lord. You cannot accept the benefit of salvation but reject the burden of Christ. In other words, you cannot take the benefit of salvation but not walk in the manner of salvation by carrying your own cross. You cannot accept him for salvation and reject him for sanctification. You cannot accept him to be a savior but not accept him to be the one that purifies and sanctifies, making you holy day by day. These two must be the same. He must be your savior, but also your keeper in salvation, making you to that image of himself. You must be willing to take or to receive the whole Christ without limitations. He must save you, be your savior. You must also live as the one who is saved. And my friends, it is my joy, it is my privilege, it is my responsibility to tell you that the Lordship of Jesus over us, it demands that kind of accountability in our Christian lives. It demands practical holiness. It demands faithfulness to God's work. It demands responsibility. To put it clear for you, if Jesus is Lord of your life, you will fulfill your Christian duties. If Jesus is Lord of your life, you will fulfill your Christian obligations. You will fulfill your Christian responsibilities with a smile? No, with joy. Joy is better than a smile. So the question is he the Lord of your life? Have you brought your life under his sovereign rule? Do you live daily, day by day, under his precious control or guidance? That is the question you need to ask, and that's the question you need to be answering. In other words, is he sitting at that throne of your heart? You see, there is that throne in your own heart where you think me is me. But is Jesus sitting there directing your life, controlling each and every part of your life? Do you confess him as Lord in your deeds? Not in your words. Do you confess him as Lord in your deeds? Can I hear people say, indeed, that man is a Christian? And I ask, why? Did he say something to you? Not only that he says something to me, but I can see the way he lives. This is a child of God. Confessing Jesus with your deeds. Here's the good news, my friends. Here's this joy to the world. He who is born is not an angel. He's God himself. He's able to carry our sin. He's able to bear the wrath of God so that we may stand forgiven before God because of the cross. It is good news because no one came, but God himself came. He left his glory above and he came into this world and walked the dusty streets of Jerusalem. He allowed himself to be born from a woman he created. He allowed himself to be born and be raised by the same people he came to save, sinful people. It is good news of great joy because he came to identify with us, redeeming us from the wrath to come. And for this good news to be good news for you, for this good news to bring joy to you, this good news must be believed. So, let us see him as Savior. Let us have that deep conviction in our hearts that he is Savior, conviction of our guilt, Let us see him as Christ, the Holy One of God. And let us then work our salvation with trembling and fear. Let us be holy, for he is holy. He is the Christ of God. Let us see him as Lord. Let us be willing to have the dominion of Jesus Christ over our lives. A Savior, the Christ, who is Lord, is born. May the good God bless you. May he save you. May he keep you. May you have a wonderful and happy new year. God willingly, we shall see each other next year. The Savior, the Christ, who is Lord, is born. Let's pray.
So we thank you, O Lord, you who is the Savior. We thank you, you who have come down from heaven, left your throne, and humbled yourself and took the form of a flesh to redeem us from our sins, O Lord, to show us a way to you, O Lord, a way of humbleness, a way of holiness, that we may walk in this world just as we walked in this world. So we thank you, O Lord, for this great news. This news of great joy to all the world, O Lord. May people know it, O Lord, as they celebrate these holidays, O Lord. May they remember, O Lord, about you, about this great news that came into the world, O Lord, that they may seek you as well. As Christ, as Lord, O Lord, that you may rule into their lives, that they may not be ruled by the pleasures of this world, O Lord, but that they may be ruled by you, who is Lord above all. So we give you our thanks, O Lord, for this great that we have in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Nkosi inbusisa. God bless. Modimo and Onolofati. Sikwembu chinkatekisi.